Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Orleans game winner, 133 into the OT on the power play, getting it done, and a 2 points for the Sabres. They respond after having some adversity there with a disallowed goal that, well, in my opinion, should not have been. But they figure out a way to pull it out and get 2 points over the Blues and end that losing streak at one. So we welcome you back here on the post game. Brian Colziel with you. We'll be headed to the locker room any moment. Paul Hamilton awaiting to head in to get some player reaction to this one as the Sabres figure out a way to get this done by a 4-3 final. Very smart play at the end of regulation. A penalty called against the Blues for goaltender interference. It was evident. It was obvious. Everybody in the building knew it was happening. And the Sabres essentially decided to take the final, like, literally maybe 30 to 40 seconds. And just goes ahead and they just start cycling the puck around in their own end. And the Blues, after a few moments of trying to go and get it, they essentially just kind of gave up on it and just said, all right, well, we know what's happening here. And what it led to, instead of a 5-on-4 start of the power play in regulation, it gave Buffalo a full 2 minutes in the overtime with a 4-on-3, which 4-on-3 percentage-wise is better than 5-on-4. You have more space, more room, obviously less defenders, and the ability to score on a play where you get a quick one-timer much easier. And that's how it played out. Paterka sets up Dahlin for his fourth of the year on the power play, and the Sabres win it by a score of 4-3. All right, let's go down to the locker room. Here's Rasmus Dahlin live.
To those situations that go wrong in games this season.
Yeah, we're not forcing stuff.
Connection in the locker room with Rasmus Dahlin, so we will hopefully get back to that in just one moment as Dahlin was joining Paul in the media there. But that one-timer goal from Dahlin, really, really nice, and he was in the right position. And the Sabres were moving the puck around, but the passing initially before they were able to get to that game-winning goal was just a hair off each time. I was saying, oh, geez, they couldn't get the one-timer, they couldn't get the one, they finally got it. And when you've got 4-on-3 and you've got room, that's able to do it. Okay, we have Rasmus Dahlin back. Let's go back to the locker room.
In front of us, so, you know, guys play really well today.
I know Dylan's goal didn't count, but, I mean, just the effort to knock down one of the Blues and battle to the front. I mean, what do you think of that?
Unreal. You see Benny there, that front, he's unbelievable there. And then Cuzzy, he's doing a great job right now. He's playing with a lot of confidence, so it's that's what you have to do to score goals, and they're doing a great job.
Even though that goal gets disallowed, you want Benson there 100 times out of 100, don't you? I mean, he did his job.
Yeah, for sure. You know, he did the right thing, like I said. Next time it might count, so you never know. So you just got to stick with it, like we did. So it's good.
What is Ryan's thought process?
he's great, a hell of a player. So, more than speed. He, the pass he made, unbelievable off the FU.
That may be the end of the interview there with Rasmus Dahlin, so we'll bring it back up here. Brian Colsey with you on the postgame. Sabres getting it done by a score of 4-3. If that was Rasmus Dahlin, we'll have more from the locker room coming up in just a moment. But I would agree with Paul's question, and I would agree with Dahlin's response. Benson has been wonderful since returning from the injury timeout that he had there for about a week and a half or so. Not only is he scoring, he's got 3 goals now. Let's see here. Is that in 3 in his last 4? I think that's right. Yeah, 3 in his last 4 for Benson. And he has been that pest that we all love seeing him do to the other team. He's been around the net. He's not afraid to be there. He knows he's going to be battling against guys that are bigger. That's the reason he got the spot last year. And really, really got to give him credit. Him and Cousins, that is a Dylan Cousins goal that when he had that great season, it looked just like it. It's a goal that you feel like he could score that every game because he's in the right position. He has been in the right position. That puck just hasn't gone in for him. So those two, as Dahlin said, give him credit for the work that Benson and Cousins did there. And I would agree. I wouldn't tell Benson anything different. Like, oh, you can't get that close to the goal. I just think that was a bad call. And I think, for the most part, you're gonna want your players to be right there. I don't know if it was because Binnington looked like he was like drifting away from it. It just, to me, it looked like kind of a play where he just lost his balance, but it had nothing to do with, there wasn't any sort of push from Benson in any capacity. He happened to have, I guess, part of his body overhanging in the blue area, but still, I mean, we've seen much worse, much more contact let go. And that one, still a mystery. And again, I've said this for a billion times, and for all of you that have heard it a billion times, I apologize, I'm going to say it again. There is still need to be a better job by the NHL officials with an explanation in the building. I know, 20 minutes later, they email out and tweet out the response from the league. Obviously, the official has gotten an explanation here. So, or in on the discussion as well. You have to give the crowd something. All right, let's go to Zach Benson, now live with Paul.
We just got to keep going here.
Zach, it doesn't matter whether it should have counted, shouldn't have counted, whatever. You got to go there 100 times out of 100, don't you? I mean, you did your job. I mean, and you got to be there, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely get my feet out of the paint, but, that's my game. I love being around there. I love creating havoc around there. And like I said, I've seen calls go the other way. So, I'm not gonna not go there.
You guys are so much better at that this year. And even on the goal that went in from McLeod, it was because you went to the net and brought somebody with you. And that's important too. It's not just you at the net. If you go, you're gonna have an opponent with you, aren't you? And that's more traffic.
Yeah, I mean, whenever we have a big thing here, take your time at the net, and so when it's your turn, just get there and create havoc.
Thanks, Zach.
Perfect.
That's Brian McLeod.
I just saw Tucky pop out. I just gave it to me.
What did you think about the way that the group just responded after that the goal gets overturned and you guys are still down by one?
Yeah, I think throughout the second period we didn't play great hockey, and going to third we wanted to get back to our game, and I think that because he made a great play to the corner there, really, I think that physical play really got the guys going. So, even though it didn't count, I think it really fired us up. So, yeah.
Ryan, we talk about getting guys to the net. It's not only you guys, though. If you go to the net, aren't you going to bring an opponent with you? And that gets even more traffic around the net? Because I think your goal went in off Parayko.
The goalies are so good that now these days, you're not really beating them with too many clean shots, especially from that distance. So, the more time you get guys to the net, guys into their eyes, could – goes in, or it goes off someone and goes in. So I think the more time we get guys there, it helps.
Of course, you're disappointed when that goal gets disallowed, but what was the feeling on the bench when you thought you tied it, you didn't? What were you guys thinking as you were trying to move forward then?
I just kind of got to regroup and go get one. Obviously, it. I think, as I said, it kind of fired up our group, the way that, went to that hard, got to put a guy on his ass, and Yeah, just, you know, we needed to get one back, and, you know, we did a good job of doing that.
Well, he said a main focus this week was he talked to you guys about if you lose one, fine, go out and win the next one. Don't lose two, don't lose three. This is the first time this year where you've done that. You only lost one, and you got back on the winning track again. It's obviously something you guys took to heart listening to him say that.
Yeah, you know, you never in this league, it's tough. You know, you don't want to get too high to get too low. You know, we came out of a three-game winning streak, and I think we came into, you know, Montreal and played, you know, just a soft game, you know, and didn't get to our game. So, you know, tonight we found a way to win, and that's, you know, kind of all that matters in this league.
What do you make just the second period? What went wrong there for you guys?
Just didn't win enough battles. You know, playing soft, I think we were giving pucks away too much, and, you know, feeding their transition. You know, they got some guys out there that can score and can skate, so when we feed them, it's a tough night for us. So I think in the third, we kind of got back to, you know, playing a little bit more north-south and win some more battles.
You basically had Zucker and Greenway all year. You had one practice with Tuck and Benson and got to play with them. Obviously, you found a chemistry with them, but is that difficult when you've basically had one practice with those guys?
You know, it's I don't think it's too tough. You know, they're two great players. You know, they both, you know, do so much for me. So it's pretty easy to just go out there and, you know, buzz around and get them the puck and let them do their thing. But, you know, I think, you know, playing throughout the league for a couple of years now, you kind of, you know, learn to, you know, play with just whoever's out there and just play your game and, you know, just try and do your best. So I think we went out there and I did a good job tonight.
What do you like about playing with Benson?
He's feisty. You know, he's really skilled with the puck. He's heavy on it. Makes a lot of good plays. Gets the net a ton. Yeah, just all around. You know, it's fun to, you know, play with a guy like that. So he clears a lot of lanes for us, and he's, you know, making a lot of.
Cloudus McLeod, one of the Buffalo goal scorers tonight. He put Buffalo up 2-1 late in the first period. The Sabres then gave up two in period two to the Blues and trailed 3-2. But then in the third, the early disallowed goal from Cousins kept it a 3-2 St. Louis lead. Then Alex Tuck scored at 12:57 from the side of the net on a nice feed from McLeod. That tied it up at 3. And then the delayed penalty in regulation that ended up extending to a full 2 minutes in the overtime. The Sabres 1:33 into that extra session on the power play, win it on the Dahlin goal from Paterka and Quinn, his fourth of the year, a 4-3 Buffalo final. And for the Sabres, that gives them their eighth win of the season. Now 8-8-1. So that's exactly 500 in terms of the amount of points. And that gives Buffalo 17 points. As of this moment, Buffalo is tied for the final wildcard spot in the Eastern Conference. Tampa, Ottawa, and Buffalo all have 17. Points percentage-wise, Tampa has the best because they've played less games than the Sabres. But as of this moment, in terms of just total points earned, it's Tampa, Ottawa, and Buffalo with 17. That would be the final wildcard spot. The Sabres do only remain 1 point out of third. The Bruins are losing badly tonight in Dallas. They're on their way to losing. We can pretty much say that's a final. It's 6-2 Dallas with 3 minutes to go in the game. So Buffalo's going to get a little help there from the Stars. So that'll keep Boston at 18 points. Ottawa lost in overtime, so they only got a point tonight. Tampa did win over Winnipeg. So that's kind of where the update is on the standings with that log jam there. Islanders and Flyers are 1 point back of Buffalo. All right. Sabres win 4-3 in OT. Let's hear from the head coach. Lindy Ruff is now live.
What was the explanation you got, if any?
You know, he was in the crease originally. You know, I said I respectfully disagree because I thought he was kind of bumped. Kind of got bumped in there, trapped in there. But you have to be able to battle through adversity, and I thought we did. Yeah, 101 out of 100, to be exact. You know, I thought his game was real good. He was a pain to them every time he was on the ice.
What did you think about the way the group responded after that second period?
Good response. Again, you got to be able to overcome tough moments. Our second period wasn't that good, but the answer in the third period was. We started the control play again. We started to skate through the neutral zone. Yeah, it was a night where we had a few guys didn't have a very good night, and we were able to overcome that at the same time. So big win for our club, and we talked about not losing two games in a row.
What did you think of the way that McLeod stepped up with Tejop?
I thought he stepped up, you know, the way we needed. It was the next man's opportunity, and he took advantage of it.
Doesn't count, but I mean, just the effort on that.
Yeah, you know, I think that set the tone for the rest of the period, really. Where he counter hit, knocked the guy down, and that's the disappointing part. You have a big play like that, and you set the tone, and at the end, the goal doesn't count. Well, I think he's pretty well summed it up. But, you know, just know the guy was there. It's one of the toughest plays on a goaltender when you come out the same side as you're skating. And he went backside, and Tucky was able to put in an empty net, basically.
You guys really relied on Rasmus and Bo today. And the way that those two have really stepped up, you know, especially on nights when you guys have either lost a defenseman or a couple of guys maybe aren't playing at the best.
Yeah, you know, I think the pair was good. Skating well, you know, I think Rasmus's answer to last game after the penalty, for him to put the game away with the game-winning goal in overtime and the way he played, that's the answer to basically a game where we thought we could at least get a point and we took a penalty and he was the guy that took it. So for me, it's an indication that, you know, you're ready to turn the page, you're ready to. The group knows how I feel about the type of penalties we take. And, you know, I had a great conversation with Raz about his, and I thought his response tonight was awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Lenny.
All right, that is Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff following a 4-3 overtime victory as we bring it back up here to the press box. Lindy Ruff's press conference brought to you by Steve Foley Law. If you've been injured, it's time to get serious. Time to call Steve Foley Law. If you're listening in your car on your way home from KeyBank Center, appreciate you joining us here on the postgame. Your drive home brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet with you for the extra mile. Sabres win it 4-3 to go to 8-8-1, 17 points tied for the final wildcard spot in the Eastern Conference. We will take a timeout right now and say goodbye to all of our local affiliates. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com or on the Odyssey app. And for all of you listening on WGR, more postgame coming up. When we come back, we'll get you some stats, some highlights, Paul Hamilton's take, and more update on the scores and the standings here as we roll on from KeyBank Center. The Sabres overcome a disallowed goal. They still tie it, and then they win it in overtime on Rasmus Dahlin's game winner. A 4-3 win for the Sabres over the Blues. I'm Brian Colziel. We'll be back to KeyBank Center right after this timeout. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
This has been a presentation of Odyssey Sports. For even more coverage of your team, download the free Odyssey app and listen to your favorite stations, shows, and podcasts.
Winner 133 to the overtime. Paterka and Quinn set up the captain, Rasmus Dahlin, for the one-timer and the game winner. Cousins in front of the net as well. And a power play goal for Buffalo wins it. That's our goal of the game, brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. So we welcome you back here to KeyBank Center. Brian Colziel with you on the postgame. We're going to get to Paul Hamilton's thoughts here in just one moment. Before we do that, though, let's get a couple of final stats. They're brought to you by Level Financial Advisors. Helping you retire better, visit levelfa.com. Shots in the overtime, 1-0. Yeah, that was the Dahlin shot. It ends up 33-27 in terms of shots for the Sabres over the Blue. Temps also improved. I know Lindy Ruff was hoping that the shot totals would go up. It did. Last game against Montreal, 18. Game before that against Calgary, 19. Game before that, Rangers, 22. Now, they did win two of those three games, but he did put an emphasis on shooting and getting shots actually to the goaltender tonight, and they jumped to 33, so that ended up working out quite well. In terms of shot attempts, the Sabres ended up with 66, which is also much improved from that last.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Few games. Shots themselves individually, Benson had four, Cousins had four, Dahlin had four, and Tuck had four. So nice distribution there. For hits, Greenway with four, Cousins with four, Connor Clifton with four. Now here's some individual stats, and before we get to Paul here, quickly our Dynabrade.com power play update, powered by Dynabrade Tools, proudly made here in Buffalo. Sabres go 1-3 in the game. Of course, the game winner came there. And St. Louis, 0-1 in front of announced 13,943 at KeyBank Center. Okay, let's go down to the media room now where Paul Hamilton's standing by. Paul, I think a huge takeaway from this game here tonight is they were able to handle the adversity and not only continue to play, but kind of use it as motivation. I know Ryan McLeod said that really fired us up. They went on and won the game. So credit that. I think in years past we would have seen this team let that moment get to them and not recover.
Yeah, absolutely. And they did what Lindy Ruff, you know, told them to think about, you know. Stop the losing at one game, which they hadn't done all year. That's the first time all year that they've been able to do that. And they had to overcome that call. That in the crease call, which would have tied the game. So it didn't tie the game. So they had to overcome that. They did. And then they went from there and were able to win a hockey game. And you mentioned it too. It's against a Western Conference team. Doesn't matter if you give them a point. Who cares?
Right.
If you got to get it to overtime. Although it worked. You know, they got the power play. They scored the power play goal. In overtime, I didn't agree with, you know, when, because it was about, I don't know, maybe a minute somewhere in there left in regulation when the goaltender interference penalty was taken. So that was interesting. And the Sabres just ran the clock out. They did pull the goalie, but they just played catch with the puck thinking, okay, let's just go to the 4-on-3. But the reason I have a problem with that is you're going to get the two-minute power play whenever it's blown dead. Why not take a minute of 6-on-5 on top of the two-minute power play? If you can get the puck in the zone and get set up, you get a full minute there of 6-on-5 power play, and then if they touch the puck, then your 2 minutes will start. It worked out. What they did worked out. They won the game. I'm just perplexed. I don't understand why not. You could basically had a 3-minute power play if you take that last minute, finish it off, and, you know, get into overtime with the power play. I just didn't understand. I see that maybe they just wanted the 4-on-3 power play. I get it.
Yeah, I think just Paul, maybe I guess I'll go the other way with it. I thought it was smart in the sense that while, yes, you could have extended your opportunity to score, like you said, using the regulation time, my thought is your chances of scoring on a 4-on-3, knowing you'd have a full 2 minutes versus maybe 6-on-5, followed by 5-on-4, followed by 4-on-3, who knows how the time increment plays out at that point. Maybe they're thinking, hey, the percentages of 2 full minutes with a 4-on-3 with all that space, that's the best recipe. And also this way, by playing it safe in some sense, you're not giving St. Louis any opportunity to score, even if it was on a 5-on-6 way, by holding the puck all the way to the end.
I'm looking through the play-by-play. I wanted to see how much time they would have had, but there's nothing in the play-by-play when the hit actually happened. It was just when the penalty was called at the 20-minute mark. So I don't know exactly when it happened. But I would say it was probably about a minute
that
you know, they had there. And, hey, what did you think about Jeremy White's idea? He thinks that overtime power play should be 3-on-2.
I would love that. I think that's a great idea. Why should they get the extra? Keep their third guy out there. Overtime states, it's 3-on-3. If you lose a guy, well, you're down to 2, right? And guess what? If they take a penalty, you're down to 1. Why not?
3-on-1.
Yeah.
It certainly is an interesting idea that I think I like.
And the reason, you know, I like it, Paul, too, is it would also then eliminate less games going to shootout. I think the league knows, you know, they don't have a recipe to get rid of shootouts, but I think they'd rather have games end in overtime versus shootout, because at least it's a hockey play. It's not just a breakaway competition. So I think that would lead to even a few less shootouts here and there.
Yeah, it's certainly an interesting idea, that's for sure. I'm surprised I never really gave it much thought, but he comes into that, and Mike Heim just texted me. He does a lot of the different stats, I'll call them. He said there was 58 seconds left when the ref raised his arm.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm still going to stick with that. I just think that's 58 seconds of power play time you're wasting. Again, now, if you don't score in overtime on the 2 minutes, let's say you get the full thing, you could add a 2 minute and 58 second power play. I just think that, and again, it worked out for him. So I'm sitting there talking about something that, well, if you would have done it your way and they didn't score, then you're yelling at them because they don't score.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it worked out for him. I just, you know, kind of, that's something I think I'd like to ask Lindy when I get the opportunity.
Yeah. I hear your argument. I think there, you know, I think I'd just say I'd still take, I want the space. I want the 4-on-3. I think my chances of scoring at 4-on-3 are better than 6-on-5.
And obviously, Lindy Ruff agrees with you.
I'm looking forward to seeing what he has to say about it, too. They obviously, here's what we can say, Paul, that I think we both can agree on. They were ready with the decision and the plan. So kudos to them for being prepared. It wasn't like there was hesitation. They clearly knew what they were doing.
Right. They went to four corners.
Right. So at least I will give them credit for that they were decisive, they were prepared. They knew, if this scenario comes to play in a game, this is what we're going to do. So I want to give them at least credit for that. That wasn't something I'm sure that they just maybe winged it. They had that was a discussion at some point, and they were prepared. So that, I think, is good. Let's move on to Ryan McLeod, first star. Obviously, fulfilling an even bigger role because of the fact that Tage Thompson wasn't in the lineup tonight, Paul, and he delivered for him.
Yeah, interestingly enough, on a line he never played. He's basically played with the same line all year. I mean, he's had the same wingers, Greenway and Zucker, for almost the whole year. Zucker moved to the Thompson line for just a brief time. And next thing you know, in practice yesterday, there he is with Benson and Tuck. You know, because Thompson wasn't practicing and wound up not playing. So there he was with them. And they looked like they'd played together all year. I mean, look at the Tuck goal. I mean, McLeod gets the puck. He starts going behind the net, but he's looking straight at Tuck, almost anticipating that Tuck's going to back off. And he backs off. Now, being a left-handed shot, he can drag his stick behind him a little bit.
going behind the net that way to keep that passing lane open. So Binghamton thinks that he's going to keep going, but Tuck backs off, and he gives him a pass right on his stick and pounds it in. I don't think Binghamton even knew what happened. Just a great play. But what I'm trying to say is these are guys that just got together as a line, as line mates.
Yeah.
And they still read off each other perfectly for that goal.
And, of course, McLeod filling in for Tage Thompson, who officially is day-to-day. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen also out today with an injury, day-to-day. Matias Samuelsson, weeks, long-term, he's on injured reserve. That's what allowed the room for James Reimer to come in and be the backup tonight. Now, that is the injury report. It's brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at Catholic Health St. Joseph Campus. Go with Joe's. Paul, how about Zach Benson? 3 goals in 4 games. He's obviously involved in the disallowed goal. I know you asked Lindy, you asked the players about him just being on the net and that you'd coach him to do the same thing again, and I would agree with you in that. Since he's come back from that injury layoff, he has been one of the Sabres' best players.
Yes, he has. And as Lindy, I asked Lindy, you know, if you want him to still, even though he got called against your team, do you want him to be there 100 times out of 100? He goes, no, I want him to be there 101 times out of 100. You know, so, you know, you want Benson to do that and play that way. If it gets called, it gets called. So what? You still want him there. And because this is the NHL, the next 5 times it might not get called. Who knows? One thing that is consistent is you know it will be called inconsistently.
Yep.
So we know that as a fact. But you know, even
Dahlin said it too, right, Paul? He's like, hey, maybe next time it'll count. So
yeah,
I want him there too.
So yeah, look at you know Benson, and he went to school on. It wasn't a power play goal by 4 seconds, but you know the blue was not into the play yet, so basically was a power play goal. Before that, Benson had a lane to the net. Where he is he's just about on the goal line to the left of the goaltender, you know, playing, you know, just as a, you know, flank type of a guy there. Once he got the puck, he could have gone straight to the net. And if you would have been sitting next to me, you would have heard me. Go to the net. Take it to the net. You have an open lane. Well, I think he went to school there because he got it again and did. And not only did he go to the net, I think Binghamton went the other way to school, thinking Benson's not going to come to the net. So he cheated the other way.
Yeah.
And Benson took advantage of that. He saw right away that he was cheating and scored the goal. So that's what I like about the kid, too. We're talking about a 19-year-old kid here who, you know, figures it out as he goes. And he's always around the net. He doesn't care if he gets hit. He just gets back up, and then he'll cross-check somebody back. He doesn't care. You know, and that's just the way he plays. And he's showing us he's even better than he was last year and how much he's improved over the summer, which he couldn't show us before because he was playing with an injury.
Paul Hamilton with us here on the postgame. Sabres win 4-3 in overtime. Paul, let's just finish with, I know, something you mentioned in pregame, which was Lindy Ruff's statement about how good teams, everybody's going to lose games, but he says good teams, after they lose one, they come right back and win. And we've gone through the Sabres' schedule this year so far. Every time they've lost that first game, they've at least lost one more. And that obviously was a focus. I know Lindy mentioned it even in the postgame too, so that was good to see. That was another sticking point that he had brought up to this team, and they came through to end, we'll call it, the losing streak at one.
Yeah, and that is important, and he really stressed that to his team that, you know, it was very important for them to be able to do that, something they rarely did last year and hadn't done yet this year. And that's exactly what they needed to do because at the end of the day, as bad as the Montreal game was, they still had won 3 out of 4 games. So make it 4 out of 5. You had a bad game. You know what? They're going to have another bad game this year. You know what? They're going to probably have 10 more bad games this year. But you minimize them, and you don't start stacking losses once you have one. You have the bad game. You realize what it is. You get back to the practice ice. You get into the film room. You figure out what you did wrong, and you come out and start playing again like you're capable of playing, even though you didn't have a good second period. You had a good first period. You had a good third period. I will say it again. Fans can do whatever they want. I'm not saying fans can't boo or whatever. This fan base, they trigger the boos faster than any fan base I see around the league. And there's no reason this team should have been booed off the ice, in my opinion, at the end of the second period. They didn't play all that well. I've seen a lot worse periods in that second period. And I just didn't think it was right. But, again, fans pay their money. They can do whatever they want. I just disagree. I didn't think they needed to be booed off the ice after the second period. But, still, it wasn't like they were booing them because they played a brutal game like they did against Montreal and lost the game. It was still only a one-goal game at the end of two periods. And, there's still plenty of time to get back in the game, which they did, and won the game. So... but that's just a side note, because people are talking about 13 years and everything, and so that had nothing to do with today's booing. And, even last year, sometimes it got ridiculous. But, people pay their money. I will say this before I get off it. Any game that I have paid money for since I was 7 years old, when my parents paid money or I've paid money of any sporting event, I personally have never once booed at a sporting event. That's just me. That's how I operate. I don't quite get it, but other people have the right to do whatever they want. They pay their money and can do whatever they'd like to do. I just don't understand booing. I've never done it. But other people, that's their right, and they're a fan, and they have the right to do what they want. So that's where I'm at with that.
Thank you, Paul, for your thoughts tonight. Appreciate it. We will talk on Saturday with the Sabres in Philadelphia.
Okay.
All right, Paul Hamilton there down in the media room. Yes, Saturday is when Buffalo plays next. Philadelphia is the opponent. 7 o'clock puck drop. We'll have the Steve Foley Law pregame at 6 that night right here on WGR. All right, timeout. When we come back, we'll get you our save of the game, update you on the standings, check the scores from around the NHL. Our final tonight in overtime, it was the Sabres 4 and the Blues 3. I'm Brian Colziel, back in just a quick moment with the rest of the postgame right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
By with a great save of the far post. Puck is still free, though, as Sundqvist will play it back to the point.
Save of the game right there. Dan Dunleavy on the call. Devin Levi faced 27 shots, made 24 saves. That one, our save of the game, brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. 4-3, Sabres win in overtime, courtesy of Rasmus Dahlin's fourth of the year on the power play, which gets it done. We'll let you know again where they are in the standings here, but first, let's do a scoreboard check, and our scores are brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorney. All right, let's go to the scoreboard here. Finals from tonight, New Jersey rolling Florida down in Sunrise, 6-2, the finals there. Jesper Bratt, the hat trick for the Devils. Rangers hold on at Madison Square Garden to beat San Jose by a score of 3-2. Tampa picks up 2 points. They are now tied with Buffalo with 17 points. They get a 4-1 win over Winnipeg. In overtime, Philadelphia, a 5-4 win over Ottawa. So the Sens get a point. They are at 17 points as well to tie the Sabres. Philadelphia 1 point back with 16. Dallas defeats Boston 7-2. Bruins struggling there tonight. The Wild shut out the Canadiens 3-0. And now three games that are going on right now. In the third period, just starting in Edmonton, the Oilers have a 2-1 lead on the Predators. Early second period in Vancouver, the Islanders have a 3-1 lead on the Canucks. And scoreless early second period in Seattle between the Kraken and the Blue Jackets. All right, let's go now to Thursday Night Football, and they're at the two-minute warning in Philadelphia, and this one looks to be over. The Eagles have a 26-10 lead on the Washington Commanders. Big night for Saquon Barkley, 146 yards on 26 carries, and two touchdowns. The lone touchdown for the Commanders coming from Brian Robinson Jr. He has 63 yards, but a rough night for Jaden Daniels. He has just 167 yards, no touchdowns, an interception, and has been sacked three times. And also one score from local Big Four college hoops, Bryant College defeating UB tonight at Alumni Arena, 87-64. The Bulls drop to 2-2. Our final, Sabres beat the Blues in overtime, 4-3. And that will set us up for our next game against Philadelphia. 7 o'clock puck drop on Saturday. I'll have the Steve Foley Law pregame right here on the Sabres Radio Network at 6. And that'll put a wrap on our postgame for tonight. Want to thank our crew back in our Amherst studios, our network producer Brandon Nightingale and TJ Luckman. Thank you, gentlemen. Engineer here at KeyBank Center was Tom Maddie. Our producer, Jonathan Colziel, here at KeyBank Center. Our reporter, Paul Hamilton. And, of course, our pregame show hosts were Chopin the Bulldog and our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. I'm Brian Colziel. Again, the final at overtime. It was Buffalo 4, St. Louis 3. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you Saturday with the Sabres in Philadelphia right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.